But some of the strangest things that are happening right now, and that is that as innocent as this group of people is right here, there's a lot of people afraid of you. Imagine that. How is it that this group right here, people are so fearful of? I mean, I just look at you. You look innocent. Well, some of you do. You kind of look innocent. But you know, why is it then that all of a sudden, Mother Teresa, who gave her life for sharing and helping people, when they want to put a stamp in her honor, that there's a group of anti-religious people saying, we don't want you to do that because she stood for something much bigger. What's the big deal, folks? You come to realize there is a big deal. Because you know what you represent right here? You know what's happening to this group of people right here? There's authority in this room. Authority? Man, people don't want to hear the word authority. Yes. You who are representing Jesus Christ, you have authority, and Satan can't stand it. I mean, just look. E-Harmony. Does anybody know what eHarmony is? Yes, many of you know what eHarmony is. They brought a class action suit against eHarmony because they didn't have same sex in there. What in the world is going on? Satan has his people with his fiery darts because there are those who don't want to come under authority. So we take one of my heroes. His name is Tim Tebow. Yes, now that the season's over with some of you, he can be your hero too. But Tim Tebow is going to have a commercial that's thanking God because he was not aborted. And now the anti-abortion groups are rising up and say, CBS, don't show that clip. Don't tell that commercial. Why? Because you see, when you walk with God, there is authority. Amen. Now, we're going to discover this word authority this morning because we're going to recognize that Jesus Christ, He is authority. And what's happening is that many people are being challenged. The late preacher, Vance Havner, a man of great wisdom beyond his years, said, our world is fast becoming a madhouse, and the inmates are trying to run the asylum. It's a strange time when patients are writing the prescriptions. The students are threatening to run the schools, the children to manage the home, and church members, not the Holy Spirit, to direct the churches. Imagine, it's a strange world because of the word authority. Carry it one step further. Walk over to Winston-Salem, North Carolina. And there a federal judge has ruled that the use of prayer to open a North Carolina County Board of Commissioner meeting violates the First Amendment. My soul! You can't speak the name of Jesus in a public gathering. What's happening? It's the word authority. People are afraid of coming under authority because sometimes people misuse authority. They really do. A young second lieutenant at Fort Bragg discovered that he had no change and he was going to a drink machine. He wanted a soft drink. So all of a sudden, a private walked by, and this second lieutenant said, do you have change for a dollar? And the private said, I think so. Let me take a look. And all of a sudden, this lieutenant gets stiffy and says, soldier, that's no way to address an officer. We'll start all over again. Do you have a dollar? And he stood and he saluted smartly and said, no, sir. the word authority. Imagine that. And the fear of it. The fear of it. You can just mention the name of Jesus and people are afraid. Watch this.
Now, on Fox News Sunday, you got into a subject that was pretty interesting. It's non-political. It's a social embarrassment for Tiger Woods. And you said this about Mr. Woods. Roll the tape.
He's said to be a Buddhist. I don't think that faith offers the kind of forgiveness and redemption that is offered by the Christian faith. So my message to Tiger would be, Tiger, turn your faith, turn to the Christian faith, and you can make a total recovery and be a great example to the world.
Was that proselytizing?
I don't think so. I mean, look, Tiger Woods is somebody I've always rooted for as a golfer and as a man. I've greatly admired him over the years, and I always have said to people that it was the content of his character that made him, beyond his extraordinary golf skills, so admirable. Now we know that the content of his character was not what we thought it was. He is paying a frightful price for these revelations. My sense is that he has basically lost his family. And you know, there's a lot of talk about the endorsements he's lost, but that pales, I suspect, in his mind with what he's lost otherwise. And my sense about Tiger is that he needs something that Christianity especially provides and gives and offers, and that is redemption and forgiveness. And I was really meaning to say in those comments yesterday more about Christianity than I was about anything else. I mentioned the Buddhism only because his mother is a Buddhist and he has apparently said that he is a Buddhist. I'm not sure how seriously he practices that. But I think that Jesus Christ offers Tiger Woods something that Tiger Woods badly needs.
Now, if he does go that route, then he would be accused of, you know, remember in the Bill Clinton years when he got in trouble, he had the Bible and Jesse Jackson, and they were praying, and, you know, wouldn't Americans...
Yeah, but that's true, Bill, and that wasn't the first time. Remember Chuck Colson, who was one of the leading lights of Watergate, if you will.
But he made a true conversion.
What I'm saying is, if Tiger Woods were to make a true conversion, we would know it. It would show through in his being, and he would know it above all, and he would feel the extraordinary blessing that would be, and it would shine because he is so prominent. It would be a shining light, and I think it would be a magnificent thing to witness.
Now, what kind of reaction did you get when you said that? Did you get a lot of letters and emails and things?
I got some letters and emails from people who are like me or who are believers who said, great, wait on, right on, way to go. I've heard a lot of unfavorable comment from people who claimed that I was a pompous jerk who had no business mouthing off on the subject and that I shouldn't have belittled the Buddhist faith and so on. I really wasn't trying to deliver
a mini... No, I don't think so either. What do you think drives the negative comments about, Buddhism aside, I don't think you were trying to denigrate Buddhism, but what do you think drives the negative comments about Christianity?
It has always been a puzzling thing to me. The Bible even speaks of it, that you speak the name Jesus Christ, and I don't mean to make a pun here, but all hell breaks loose, and it has always been thus. It is explosive. I didn't even say the name in that way. I simply spoke of the Christian faith, but that was enough to trigger this reaction. It triggers a very powerful reaction in people who do not share the faith and who do not believe in it.
All right. Great evening, everybody. Thanks very much. We appreciate it.
Isn't it so true? You just speak the name of Jesus and all of a sudden it's explosive in what is happening. And why not? Because God the Father said, he told us and through his word in Philippians, he said, wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Why not? All of a sudden we recognize this. Even the Lord Jesus himself said in Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. All of a sudden then, folks, you recognize in your presence, with your words, there is authority like the world maybe has never been able to see it nor comprehend it. Well, let me walk with you. Let's carry it. Let's bring it up to date. Let's look at the doctrine of sound authority. Sound doctrine of authority, because what you have right here is you have a single source of authority coming in from the Lord Jesus when John answered and said in John 3:27, a man can receive nothing except he receive it from heaven. All of a sudden, where is this authority now that is in your presence? Where is this coming from? It's coming from one single source, that being in heaven. Now, the God the Father distributes this authority at His will. John 5:26. For as the Father hath life in Himself, so hath He given to the Son life in Himself, and hath given Him authority to execute judgment also, because He is the Son of Man. What is happening here? Single source. Now God the Father is giving this authority to the Son. And what did He do? If you followed the teachings, you will see that God the Father placed all authority, this priority in Christ when He said, Matthew 28:18, and Jesus spake and said unto them, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now track it, Father. Heaven, the Father, given to the Son. Now the Son, who is Jesus, exercised this authority in His teaching. Matthew 7:28. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these things, the people were astonished at His doctrine, for He taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes, not powerless, not just speaking words. When Jesus spoke, there was power in this. Now He received this power, all this power. And what did He do? He took this power and Jesus began to distribute the power at His will. How was that? Luke 9:1. Then He called the 12 disciples unto them and gave them power and authority over devils and to cure diseases. And He sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. What? Jesus distributed this authority. Who did He send it to? Who did He give it to? He gave it to His believers. Those who are going to be gathering next Friday night are going to be under the authority of Jesus, and this authority coming from heaven, from the Father to Jesus to the Son, is now placing this authority in your life. In your life. To see souls saved, to heal the sick, to cast out demons. And all of these things are coming. And this authority, it follows those who are being saved. Mark 16:14. Afterward, He appeared unto the 11, and they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen Him after He was risen. And He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In My name shall they cast out devils. In My name shall they speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any dead thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. What happens when people are saved? What surrounds this? It's such a great authority that the power of Almighty God is now what? Now surrounding, now evident, now visible. So what do we know here? The true church displays the authority of Christ. Can you see that? If you do not see, feel, understand, and experience the authority that is under the Lord Jesus, then you're not a true church. And when souls are saved, this is the most powerful miracle that can exist, is when lives are changed. You have experienced that. You have seen that. You've seen that. Let's look at the show of authority. Let's follow this. Because all of the authority now that abides in the Lord Jesus Christ, what type of authority? Oh, he had the authority over the elements, over nature. What do we recognize in Mark 4:35 when Jesus said to them, "Let's cross over to the other side." Jesus was tired. He went to sleep in the deck of the boat. And all of a sudden a massive storm came up. And all of a sudden the disciples cried out, "Lord, don't you care that we perish?" And Jesus rose out of a sound sleep. And he said to the storm, "Peace, be still." Immediately, the wind stopped at the words of Jesus. The disciples then said, and they feared exceedingly and said one to another, "What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey his voice?" What type of authority has Christ now passed to us? Over the authority, he had authority over the demonic. There was a man who came to him when he was in the synagogue teaching, had an unclean spirit, and started saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know who you are. You're the Holy One of God." And Jesus said, he rebuked him. And Jesus said these words, "Come out." Immediately, that demon that was inside of this man ripped in rage and torment in the body and came out. Jesus has the authority over nature. Jesus has authority over the spiritual world, over the demonic world. And Jesus has authority over disease. In Mark 5:29, when Jesus was walking in a massive great crowd where people were elbow to elbow and they were all pushing together, and this weak little woman who had an issue of 10 years of the blood flowing fought her way through the crowds, pushing and shoving, till she said, "If I could only just touch the hem of her garment." And all of a sudden she reached out and she touched the garment. And immediately she felt the power of the authority of God going through her body. And she was healed immediately. Jesus said, "Who touched me?" Peter said, "Lord, look at all these people around you. What's wrong with you, Jesus? Who touched you?" Jesus said, "I felt virtue." And he looked and he saw the woman. And the woman came and said, "Lord, it was me." Jesus said to her, "Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." Authority over disease. And he walks in Luke chapter 7, verse 47, he walks in to a strange area. He walks into an area where there are people who are fighting against Jesus. He sits down there. A woman who had been a prostitute, a woman who was a renowned sinner, walks in. Jesus is laying there. He's about to eat. That's the way they used to lay out and eat, on the elbow. And she walks in and she starts crying. And with her tears going on the feet of Jesus, she takes her long flowing hair and she wipes the feet of Jesus. And Jesus said, "Thy sins are forgiven." And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, "Who is this that forgiveth sins also?" And he said to the woman, "Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace." What's happening? What's happening now? Capture this. We understand the source of authority. Capture this. We want to see the show of authority with power over the demonic, with power over nature, with power over disease, with power over the forgiveness of sins. So what is the church? The church, the true church, experiences the authority of Jesus Christ firsthand. If we don't experience forgiveness of sins, if we don't experience deliverance from the demonic, if we don't experience the healing of bodies, if we don't experience the authority and the power of God, we are no true church. But when we do, people are afraid of that. How is it that people are afraid when those who see the manifestation of the Spirit of God, the power of God, the change of life, why in the world do they want to be afraid of it? Mother Teresa, we don't want your picture on a stamp. What are they afraid of? They're afraid of the authority. Because you see, all of a sudden, when authority comes in, people begin to get uncomfortable. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 21 as we continue our study of the book of Matthew, because now all of a sudden we're going to single out this authority for you in rapid fashion. But I still want you to see this as it's coming into being. Matthew 21 verse 23. Now when he came into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people confronted him and his teaching, saying, "What authority are you doing these things? And who gave you authority?" But Jesus answered and said to them, "I will give you one thing, which if you tell me, I likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John. Where was it from? From heaven or from men?" And they reasoned among themselves, saying, "If we say from heaven, he will say to us, 'Why then did you not believe him?' But if we say from men, we fear the multitude, for all count John as a prophet." So they answered Jesus and said, "We do not know." And he said to them, "Neither will I tell you what authority I do these things." Do you hear the challenge? Do you hear the challenge as Jesus begins to single out authority right here? And people are afraid. They're afraid of surrendering. See, that's the capture. They're afraid of surrendering to the authority of the Lord. So they came, and Jesus, they came to question his authority. What authority you do this? And who gave you this authority? The issue was, Jesus said, okay, let's have a debate. John the Baptist, did this power and authority come from God, or did this power and authority come from men? That's the issue. What was the logic? The logic behind this, if we say, well, it's from God, he's going to say, then why didn't you believe? We say, if it's from man, then the people are going to revolt, because that's not politically correct, because what they say, they believe that John was a prophet. So what was their logic? Their logic says, we cannot say anything, because if we say anything, then we're going to have to surrender and come under the authority. So they say, we don't know. The leaders of the nation chose to fear man rather than fear God. They chose not to surrender to the authority of Christ. So they said, we cannot tell. The true church is going to surrender authority to Christ. Well, after they singled him out with authority, he turns around and he says, okay, guys, let's have a debate. And so therefore, we're going to see, how about submitting to authority? So the debate continues. Here's a man. He has two sons. And here's the issue, okay? Now y'all tell me which one is right. Here's a man, he has two sons. He goes to the first son and he says, "Son, I need you to go out into the field and harvest the crop." And the son said, "Dad, I'm not going." But dad walked out of the room. Boy got thinking about it, repented of what he said. He told his dad, "I'm not going," and he went to the field and harvested the crop. Went to his second son. And the second son, his dad said, "Son, I need you to go out into the harvest and work and gather the crop." And the son immediately said, "Okay, Dad, I'll go." Dad walks out of the room. The boy turns back over in the bed and goes back to sleep. Now that's the issue. What is the logic? Who did the will of the father? The first one. The first one that did the will of the Father. That's exactly right. And so therefore the conclusion is this. God is looking for men to do His will. The scripture says in verse 32, He says, "Verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. Because you see, those who should have accepted and come under the authority of God, the Pharisees, the religious, the people who knew better, they said, 'Lord, we'll go to your field and work.' They didn't do it. And those prostitutes, those publicans, those sinners, those people in the marketplaces that were against coming under the authority of God repented and they went." What is God telling us? He's telling us that, look, folks, you got a choice. You can be spiritually accepted. It doesn't matter how bad you were. It doesn't matter. If you go to the field and do the work, the Father, you'll be blessed. Or you can say whatever you want to say. "Yes, God, I love you. I do this. I'll walk the aisle. God, I'll do whatever you want me to do." But you'll commit spiritual suicide if you don't go to the field and work. The true church submits to the authority of the Master, calling men to enter the fields of service. Have you submitted to the authority of Christ? Have you said, "Yes, Lord, I'll go," but you didn't go? Or you said, "No, Lord, not me. I got too much life to live. I got too much on my plate. I'm too busy. I want to do this and this and this. No, Lord, I'm just not going to your fields." But all of a sudden, you got to think about it. And the authority of God came over you, and you said, "Father, I'm sorry. I'll go." You see, it's not your words, but it's your actions. It's not your works. Let's look at the last parable. Because we're to be subject to authority, and it's found in Matthew 21:33. The issue is this. All of a sudden, we find this man, this investor. He buys a piece of land, and in this land, he plants a vineyard. Around this vineyard now, he builds a hedge around it to protect it from animals and from the outside. Inside of this compound now, he digs a wine press so that when the harvest comes, they take the grapes, they crush the grape, the blood flows out, and they have the wine to drink. Along that line, he builds a tower over this compound so that this area can be protected and people can have a place to live. And then after he gets everything just right, he leases it out to a group of farmers, husbandmen. And all of a sudden, this group of husbandmen said, "Okay, let's do it." The time comes, they grow the crop, the grapes are harvested. The master who leased out the land says this, "Go, my servants, and collect the rewards from the work that these guys have done, the payment for their lease." They go out there, and all of a sudden, the people that they leased it out to looked at these guys and said, "Hey, guys, we're not giving you squat." They turned around, and they beat up the servants, and they, in fact, killed one. The master, what did he do? The man who leased out the property. He turns around, he sends more servants, and they did the same thing. They beat them up. They killed one. Finally, the guy that leased it out says, "Look, I'll send my son." And so he sends his son. And when the guys that he had leased the property said, "Look, that's the master's son. Let's kill him and we will take all the property and it will be ours." So they took him outside the camp and they killed him. Now, that's the issue. What's the logic? What do you suppose the master of the land, the man who leased out the land, what do you suppose he is going to do after he finds out they killed his son? What do you think? That's exactly right. That's exactly what he did. And so they said, "This is justice." Now, what's the conclusion to this? Jesus said, God the Father said, "I prepared all of this for you. and I want you to go in and work in my field. And at a later date, I'm going to come and reap from the harvest, my harvest. And so Jesus was sent to the nation of Israel. And what did they do? They took him outside of the camp and they hung him on a tree. What do you suppose the Father's going to do? That's right. Those guys who killed his son. And not only that, he's going to kill those, he's going to remove them out of the way, and he's going to lease out his property to someone else. So what is God saying to us? God's saying to us, look, I've prepared it all for you. I've prepared it. Now, go into my fields and harvest. And when I come, I will reap and I will reward. But if you rebel for selfish interest, you will be judged. The kingdom of God, the power, the authority of God will be removed away from you and given to another. God's authority is here. But we must respond. We must respond. That's the reason why people are so afraid of you. Because of the authority that you have. The mission that you're on. And the power that God has instilled within you. And the harvest that's being prepared. And so what should we say? Lord, the source is heaven. Lord, you've given it to the Son. Lord, the Son has passed that authority to us. Now, Father, we will go out into the fields and we will work and we work. And God's blessing's there. But if we choose to not go into His field, judgment will come, the kingdom of God will be removed, the authority is broken. By the way, the scripture says, those who break on the stone, those who fall on the stone's Jesus, those who fall on the stone will be broken, and those to whom the stone falls on will be ground to a fine powder. The judgment of God is sure. A true church understands this. The judgment of God is for real. And souls can be saved. And God wants us to reach out with His authority. The sick healed. The demonic freed. The depressed lifted up. And will God do that? Oh, like that. How do you know that? How did you see the authority? It's already been alluded to, but yesterday. Debbie was broken because of her father. I'm talking about crocodile tears. Is that okay if I tell it, Debbie? She was broken with crocodile tears because there's her father in ICU, and the fate is unknown even as we speak right now. All of a sudden, Deborah comes in and sits down beside of her and begins to minister with the word and with love. And Deborah gets the words just out of her mouth. God is about to do something. In the course of that moment, Amos and I were talking, minding our own business. Amos and I were talking, and all of a sudden, Debbie says, here, this is my mother. And I put up the phone. She'd been giving me the phone all morning to talk to people. And she said, this is my mother. What are you supposed to do? And so I said, hello? Hello? And then all of a sudden I looked over there and Debbie was folded over. And she started laughing. And then she started snorting. And then all of a sudden, her foot come up in the air. And she was folded over. And she turned. That was the authority of God at work, folks. God did it. And from that moment, that stress that was burden down breaking, she could breathe and she could laugh. That's the authority. That's the authority. Let's pray. Father, we come before you and we praise you, God, because you, Lord, have enough confidence in this group of people right here to lease out your place of harvest, your field. Father, under your authority and with your authority and in the name of Jesus, we accept that. And we submit ourselves to you to go and to do the work of the Father. We recognize, Father, that there's great judgment for those who fall on you and who are crushed by your authority. But Lord, there's great reward for those who do the work of the Master. And one day you'll come back and we will see that reward even today as souls are saved, as lives are changed, as God's authority is manifested. Now, Lord, what do we ask for? We ask for men and women, Lord, to say in their hearts right now, Jesus, I will go into the field to reap the harvest. And Father, for those who don't know you, I pray that right now that they will say, Jesus, I want you in my heart. Forgive me of my sins. Come into my life and save me. And Lord, I know under the authority of the name of Jesus, you will save that soul, those souls this morning because they asked you to come in. So Lord, is it that soul that needs to step out this morning and who said yes to Jesus? Is it that church member who needs to come under the authority, Lord, and say, I've been telling God, no, I'm not going to do it, but this morning they repent. And they say, yes, Lord, I go into the harvest. God, what is it that you want your people to do today? We bring it before you now, Lord, in Jesus' name and under his authority. Amen. We have a time of invitation right now. If you've not given your life to Jesus Christ under his authority, I encourage you to come and say, Brother Robert, I want Jesus. I want Jesus. Others, are you struggling? And you need to say, I've been rebelling. Now you want to say, God, I'm going. I'm going. And go. Maybe the prayer altar is where you need to start. What is God saying to you this morning? This morning. Let's stand together.